Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
They've earned nearly 20 million euros off him, despite the fact he wasn't their player anymore since he's joined Manchester United.
I'd like to see you storm that. I'd like to see you take that fortress if it's so difficult.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he left in the summer. And yeah. It just makes me think, is he just going to unload on everyone for the next 3 months?
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The Prem is back and the AFCON is here. It's Friday, 12th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us on Friday, of course. It's a sad Friday, though, because yesterday, former England manager Sven-Göran Eriksson revealed that he has terminal cancer, and he said that at best he has a year to live. And I'm genuinely, well, obviously we're all sad about it, but I really am, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was very nice, a lot of people tweeted me, of course. But for such an ever-present person in our footballing lives for so many years, and of course on this podcast, you know, mentioned him so many times, of course, To hear that news, awful.
Yeah, really sad. Mm. And you think of him, I think of him as essentially ageless.
Mm.
Like your parents, he's always the same age, if you like. There's been a lot of outpouring of support for him in Portugal and Portuguese football, of course. He's still very, very popular over there, and it's on the front of a lot of the Portuguese sports papers today.
Yeah, and I think he's still popular here, I mean, because of the type of character he was. I mean, again, like, how many times have I mentioned him? You know, largely unnecessarily, because, again, that affection that we have. I mean, even though, as an England manager, perhaps didn't quite hit the highs that he would have liked. That doesn't seem to matter. I think he was liked.
He's a character who sort of transcends the environment that he's been in, though, doesn't he? He's more than just the former England manager, or more than just the former Lazio manager. You know, he's a huge, huge character in global football, really, and that comes from his character, from his personality, and the sort of warmth he showed, and how kind of, I suppose, unique his approach was. And it's very, very sad news.
Yeah, when we interviewed him, of course,
it's a real high point. That
it really was lovely. And you just the when people talk about his charm, which is, you know, has been very evident throughout his life, but not only that, his sort of calm and friendly approach as well.
Yes.
Like it was really, really sad news. And of course, you know, Sven, we wish you all the best. And obviously we wish his family all the best at this very sad time. Right, gentlemen, let's talk about the Premier League. It's back tonight. Burnley are hosting Luton Town, a huge relegation six-pointer. Burnley, of course, narrowly lost to Spurs in the FA Cup from that marvellous Pedro Porro strike, but they've looked a bit better, Vish, in these last sort of, I don't know, month or two or whatever it's been. Created a lot of chances. And do you see these two teams as the relegation fodder that a lot of people did in the opening months of the season? Or do you think that maybe there might be a little bit more fight in them?
Do I think that the team in 18th and 19th, the relegation fodder? Probably, yeah. I would say everyone's opinions at the start of the season, specifically about the relegation battle, have been well-founded. The thing I would say about Burnley that you mentioned about their upturn in form, I think that's coincided with the return of Lyle Foster as well, who obviously took a break for mental health reasons and has come back and more or less picked up where he's left off. You know, he's been responsible for seven of their goals and scored four of them. And he has probably been the only player who's actually got up to speed in the Premier League. And, you know, this is quite an interesting meeting of two teams who, you know, I thought Luton would be bottom. Mm-hmm. And I thought Burnley would do quite well. And evidently we've seen more of Luton at the peak of their powers in patches than we have of Burnley. I think Burnley have flattered to deceive and actually been quite disappointing, giving all the build-up after how they won the championship last season. Whereas Luton, we weren't too sure about, and I suppose therefore have exceeded our expectations to a point. And the fact that there's, you know, Luton are 4 points ahead of Burnley at this stage, also with the game in hand, perhaps highlights that.
Well, Foster being back is a potentially big difference maker, as you say, because I think Luton have been slightly better at both ends, essentially. They've scored a few more, conceded a few less. But obviously, when you have a difference maker like that coming back in, perhaps that evens that up. And Luton have a chance to go seven clear of Burnley if they win this game, which is absolutely massive. But I've really enjoyed watching Luton. I think we all have. They're starting to you know, make Kenilworth Road a little bit of a kind of fortress. But even within those performances, there's a sense, I suppose, that, or not even a sense, it's just an observation that they'll play really, really well, but there will be one absolutely huge goal-gifting mistake in each game. And they obviously have to cut that out. And it's more important than ever that they tighten up and make sure they don't do something like that in what is essentially a six-pointer.
Yeah. Is it possible to turn that muggy little ground into a fortress, Jim?
I would leave that to you to speculate on, actually.
It's more like the sort of the gatehouse, isn't it? To something grander.
It would be really sad, I think, if they weren't in the Premier League anymore and you couldn't have the away fans walking out going, "We can see you in the bath," to those people who live in the houses out the back.
You hate Kenilworth Road, don't you, Andy?
I'm not a fan of the away end, no.
Mm. So the capacity is 11,500. Yeah. I'd like to see you storm that. I'd like to see you take that fortress if it's so difficult.
Well, of all the Premier League grounds, Jim, I'm glad you've given me that one. I mean, all I need to do is basically break into one house and then I'm in.
Sure.
Trojan horse.
Well, you've got to raise your army first. Well, unless you're going to take everyone on yourself.
It was possible to take Old Trafford. So it's got to be possible to take Kenilworth Road.
Well, no.
Old Trafford, you get through the roof, don't you?
Yeah, no, it's quite hard because you'll land on the roof and fall through, won't you?
That's how you do it. I think you're underestimating the Fulham army that I have at my disposal. throw the sponges, boys. But I mean, you know, you are right into pointing out that if Luton can win this game, you know, they have a game in hand on Everton. If they win this game, they're out the relegation zone, which gives a huge psychological boost. Would you put Luton down as favourites for this? Or do you think home advantage is...
I think they would be favourites, just in terms of I can actually see them scoring goals. I mean, that is the thing that will finish Burnley. And the problems facing Burnley and Luton were very, very different promoted team problems, I think, when they came up. Because at Luton, because it was such a meteoric rise, generally over the last decade, but particularly since Rob Edwards got the job.
It's been incredible.
I think, it's unbelievable that people look at it and think, well, actually, they're still working it out. And that's been clear this season. Edwards is working it out as a coach. They're working it out as a team. And they've made huge progress in doing that. The problem with Burnley was more of a, when Fulham got promoted under Jukanovic kind of problem. I think it's the second time we've referenced that this week.
You have mentioned Jukanovic a few times.
Why?
I mean, you...
Because, like, I think you look at Burnley and they won the championship with such style. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right, you're going to have to play a completely different way when you come up.
Yeah.
And yet, Vincent Kompany's not really for turning, is he?
But it can be done, though, because, to reference Fulham again, Marco Silva. But then Marco Silva is a much more experienced operator at Premier League level.
Or Sheffield United at first under Chris Wilder. Mm. I think you could argue that as well.
Yeah, okay. Who did you say, Jim?
Brentford as well. It happens sometimes. Yeah. Bournemouth, when they first came up, sometimes. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because
but Brentford was a more pragmatic style, I think, which suited them. Which
Brentford didn't actually change all that much. It just so happened that the way they were playing was quite plug and play into the Premier League.
But you do see sometimes teams that kind of swashbuckle a little bit in the Championship, stick to that style and thrive. And then you see teams try that and get absolutely walloped all season. So it's really difficult to predict who's going to manage to pull that off while sticking to their style. But the problem is, and I think this is what Burnley are finding now, it's you can't just flick a switch and change, can you, once you've got into the rhythm of it? You've got to stick with it and hope it comes good. Or, well, get relegated.
But also as well, though, but if they believe in Kompany and what he's doing, and if they do get relegated at the end of the season, then, you know, as we saw with the example of, say, Sean Dyche, was a very different type of manager to Kompany, far more experienced. But when they got relegated under Dyche, but they kept him.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, you see, because I think sometimes it's kind of like, oh, I've got to stay in the Premier League at all costs. Well, actually, no, if you believe in what the manager's doing.
And the parachute payments do kind of, unless you've got yourself into a lot of debt, parachute payments make it achievable.
Exactly. Do forgive us, Burnley fans. You know, say we're just only projecting a few. So Vincent Kompany, speaking of him, he said yesterday there was a big chance that they might do something in the transfer window. Now, they're reportedly looking at David Datro-Fofana from Chelsea.
Which won't do it for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a really not great first half of the season at Union Berlin, and that's why he's been sent back.
Andy, which former England stalwarts do they need to get in? Because Luton have done it. Andros Townsend and Ross Barkley. I mean, Rob Edwards was singing Barkley's praises just the other day. He was asked about an England recall potentially. He said, "We certainly love him. The fans love him. Some of his performances you would pay to watch." Well, I mean,
is that bigger than people watching from their bedrooms? Stop watching from your fucking bedroom.
You'd pay to watch this.
We've got Ross Barkley down here.
All 11,500 went.
Draw curtains paid to see or pay this. Up.
The intimation is like, you don't have to pay for him, but you will have to pay for him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, what do you think Burnley need then? And what's Kompany sort of hinting at?
Well, yeah, they definitely need a goal scorer. And I think it's interesting to see the way that, certainly, not what he said, but certainly the way it's interpreted. When it feels as if he's been encouraged enough by recent performances, and particularly the ones away at Spurs and away at Villa, they were great, and they're really unlucky not to get something from that. It's a weird thing because, as Jim was saying, you know, you could do that thing where, you know, relegation is, we've seen Burnley do it before, is not a disaster. You take the Premier League money, you don't overspend, and gradually, you know, you put the club in a better and better financial position, and that gets you to the point where you can become an established mid-table team in the Premier League in the future. But you just wonder, for now, has Kompany seen enough that he thinks, actually, maybe we should go for it a little bit in the transfer market, because the performances are there. But of course, the most expensive players to get in the game, whether on loan or permanently, are proper goal scorers who, in Burnley's case, would make a bit of a difference, certainly with the way they've been playing recently.
Yeah, one of Burnley's players that I've enjoyed watching this season is the goalkeeper, James Trafford.
Yeah, excellent.
Looks very unassuming.
Yeah, he's been pretty busy, isn't he? And he's made a very good account of himself. I think there's a big player in there for the future.
Yeah. Well, he showed it, obviously, England under 21's level, and Kompany said, you know, England are lucky to have a young goalkeeper like him. Mm. But he's putting in big performances.
Isn't there like a Jaskalainen complex to this? Do you remember when Jaskalainen was at Bolton and he became a goalkeeper that loads of people would talk about? And say he was doing very well because you'd see him more often, even on the highlights, because he would just, you know, have shot after shot to
save. It's a different, task than, say, being a goalkeeper. For
He's clearly very talented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
But you don't think he's going to go anywhere, is what you're saying?
Well, no, I just think that he's
going to retire at the end of the season.
I think we're judging him.
Should he bother that?
No, exactly. Yeah.
I think
you've got your under 21 championship.
He's young enough.
I think if he was, if he wasn't English, you wouldn't be talking about him, Marcus.
Is that what it is? Oh, I see. A little dig from Vips there. But you are right.
Can we also just note that Luton fans have a 400-mile round trip on a Friday night for this game? So well done, everyone.
Which they heard about 5 days before the game. Ridiculous, because they changed it, because this was originally going to be a Monday night. In October, this was set as the Monday night game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you'd rather do it on a Friday night than a Monday night. Done them a good service.
Yeah, you're at a good point. Suck it up, Luton fans, and have a lovely night out.
Is our message officially from the Football Ramble. On Sunday at 4:30, Manchester United host Tottenham Hotspur. Big game for Manchester United. They need to make ground on the top four if they are to finish in the top four. That's how it works. Spurs' new signing, Timo Werner, has already taken part in his first training session and could start or at least play in the game. That is something I think we'd all like to see, Jim.
Sure. They're not, depending on how it goes, they're not messing about in the transfer window, are they, Spurs? They're winning it so far.
Do you think?
Well, they've got two in already.
And they've got rid of two they didn't want either.
Okay.
And they've weakened Man United in a way by taking Reguilon back as well.
in a way. Vish, you worried about Timo Werner? Or is it more Manchester United's...
Well, you know, obviously Manchester United were looking at Timo Werner. I think there's also the... United are in a place now where it's not even that ex players are likely to score against you. Players that you've just looked at are likely to score against you as well. Players that you've typed into Google come to life. And, it's like one of those horror films in the 90s. But no, I think there's absolute genuine reason to worry there. There's also, you know, genuine reason to feel like you're playing Spurs at the right time here with, you know, Son, Sar, Yves Bissouma all on international duty. I think there is an element of Spurs don't actually really know how they're going to, not necessarily line up, because obviously Andrew will have an idea, but you don't necessarily know if they're going to play, because as we've seen already this season, they don't quite have the depth there.
Yeah, and the question mark really is their defence. And it has been the question mark for the last, I suppose, month and a half, Tottenham's defence. You know, since Van de Ven got injured, it's been a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
So they're in a position here where Romero could play, where Van der Ven could play, when Radu Dragosin, having just signed, could play. And I think in most situations, you would think, if you're 21 and have just joined a Premier League club for the first time and you're a defender, United away is a sort of... It would be crazy to throw him straight in. But because of how United are, I think, and especially because of how Ange Postecoglou is, I think the thought is, he actually could play. It's not such a daunting task as it once was.
I think... That's absolutely right. And the thing about Spurs and the way they play under Postecoglou is that they won't be afraid to attack Man United. And actually, that is there is still a sense from some teams that they sit off United a little bit and they give them quite a bit of respect. The West Ham game,
they let them make mistakes.
Well, perhaps, yes.
As Napoleon said, Jim, never interrupt your enemy while he's making mistakes.
So the West Ham game at the Olympic Stadium was a great example of that. So... Mm-hmm. There was a point where I think West Ham set up, as they so often do, to counter. And then they realised after a little while, it's like, hang on, we can just attack them.
Yeah.
We can just attack them because they're a bit shit. And then we'll probably get something. And then they won the game fairly convincingly. And Spurs will have seen that. And they play on the front foot anyway. Yeah. So, you know, I suppose you are potentially playing into United's hands by doing that, because they themselves play in a similar way. But I don't know. United just seem vulnerable against teams who are enjoying life. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He's got a bit of vim and a bit of pep about them.
Definitely. As well as Jadon Sancho moving to Borussia Dortmund, of course, Eric Dier has moved to Bayern Munich on loan with the option to buy.
Has a man ever looked so happy about a loan transfer?
He cannot believe his luck, can he?
It's an amazing move from him.
I thought that was really lovely to see, because I know we can talk about footballers being just weathered by maybe just the state of the game. But he got out of that. He clearly got out of that car and was like, "Fucking hell, Bayern Munich!
Yeah,
yes.
How cool is this?
Yes,
yeah. It's super. It warms the cockles. Some people are still wondering whether Eric Dier is like a decent player or not. Is there a player in there? Because he gets so much criticism at times, and Spurs fans have been, you know, at times understandably, you know, very very critical. And yet, obviously, Bayern think that there's something there. You know, he did go to the World Cup with England on merit. You know, people were saying, actually, you know, could he be a starter? You know, he kind of chops and changes.
He's a sort of systems player, isn't he? There was this time about a year ago, he was having a proper renaissance. People were really talking about how good he'd been.
But I think the point is he's a reliable team guy. And Bayern have a number of problems at the moment. And he could stand in competently at defensive midfield if they don't get Palhinha. See, he's doing you a big favour there.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Or they're planning mainly to use him at centre-back. Now, as I said on OTC, if you go back to autumn when they were looking at free agents, they got turned down by Socratis, which is remarkable. He chose to go to Betis instead.
My brain won't accept that.
they were going to sign back Joran Boateng, who has A, been dreadful for the last couple of years, and B, there's the quite horrendous off-pitch stuff with him, which is why the Bayern fans protested.
In terms of his playing, the drop-off with Boateng has been incredible.
He's one of their best defenders when they won the treble in 2020. It's extraordinary. Mm. But, you know, I think the fact is Dier is a much better option than either of them. And, of course, they spent an absolute shitload on Harry Kane. They've got to be a little bit careful.
What, not to upset Harry Kane, so they've got his May over?
No, they've spent 100
and
million euros.
You're looking at this as totally different the wrong way. They need Eric Dier there because Harry Kane,
When if you wanted Zlatan, you had to sign Maxwell as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. That's it. That's what this is a little new
routine. None of these ever get made into buddy comedies by Amazon, so who cares?
All right, Andy. Well, right, back to Manchester United. Anthony Martial isn't going anywhere. He has reportedly rejected approaches from Marseille, Fenerbahce, and Saudi Pro League sides. We'll just wrap them all up as one because he wants to stay and fight for his place.
No, he's rejected those approaches because he wants to go for free at the end of the season and earn a lot more money.
I'm intrigued to see what this fight is going to look like. You know, sort of like pull out a dueling glove and swing it around a bit and then...
Oi, stop! All right, I mean, I'm not going to come over there, but
I just want you to stop.
You better not do that again.
I might take your place and do that again. Martial's Manchester United career, like if someone legitimately forgot he was a Manchester United player, that is totally understandable. And yet he's been there for so long.
It's absolutely extraordinary that there was a clause that they would have to pay Monaco more if he won the Ballon d'Or.
Well, he came with a big reputation, didn't he? Not unreasonably as well. And we've seen flashes of what a good player he can be as well. It's just unfortunately...
Well, you know, Leon, who were his academy club before Monaco, they've earned nearly 20 million euros off him, despite the fact he wasn't their player anymore, since he's joined Manchester United.
Flipping Nora.
One big gravy train.
How do you feel about him, Vish, as a player? What do you think his sort of like legacy will be when he eventually does leave?
Speaking personally, genuinely, I am the biggest Anthony Martial apologist. I can't really see the wood for the trees because I remember things that he does in games that I think are very good that he does that other players can't do. And let's say there are five of them and they're all dotted around his 9 years at the club. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of merge into one and I have this idea of a player and I know it's totally misguided. He's one of those players where I appreciate and understand how poor he's been. Mm-hmm. I appreciate and understand how poor his attitude mm-hmm. is and the fact that he can't be relied upon to start 15 games a season, say. But he's the kind of player who I think United gave him too much too early. And because of how, you know, a lot of the times when clubs go through a period of just, you know, cataclysmic underperformance, there are people who just kind of end up, you know, there from start to finish who you don't really notice or you don't really see as a problem. And the thing I would say about Martial is whenever there's things about, you know, players, poor timekeeping, this, that, and the other. All the other things that come out to show how dysfunctional a side are. He's never really in there. Mm-hmm. Beyond his on-field performances, which have been slack, he seems to be someone who, off the field anyway, just kind of, or certainly on a football, in a football context, just kind of seems to glide by. And I kind of wonder for his own sake, if he looks back on, or if he'll look back on his career and thinks, Did I do all right? Did I scratch the itch, the childhood itch, I suppose, of being a high class footballer? And that, you know, that's for him to answer, and whatever his answer is good enough, really, isn't it? But yeah, he's just going to be impossible to offload, and I appreciate that. It's kind of mad to think that if he stayed another year, he'd be due a testimonial.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I mean.
It's wild.
But it's nice though that you have those the memories, and you know. I mean, he hasn't gone yet, but those, as you say, those sort of the highlights reel, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, but it's just, I suppose that's purely just how I consume football.
But also,
and it's more about like, I don't know. It's more about the like my own personal thing. Rather, like it's not my money. It is my club, and it's a nuisance. But there have been so many other nuisances that it just kind of like you know the cartoon. You know, in cartoons when there's like a big bundle,
yeah,
and the person at the bottom of it walks out.
Yes.
And while they're still fighting, that's Martial. In Manchester United, that's Martial.
You're a fan of the martial arts.
Yes,
is all I can say to that. A former Manchester United man, Nemanja Matic, is in an incredible standoff with his current club, Rennes, at the moment. He wants to leave, but they won't sell him, so he's threatened to retire.
Yeah, the story behind this is quite mad.
Yeah, is that a way around it? You go, I've retired. Well, and then the next day you come out of retirement when there's an offer.
The story is that Ren promised him there was an international school nearby for his children, three kids, obviously. Yeah. And no such school exists. I just feel like making up a school is some quite short-term thinking, isn't it? It's not going to be long before that lie is found out.
Yeah, but in France, though, an international school is, do you teach English? Yes. Are there some children who are from abroad here? Yeah, fine.
I mean, his kids must have been thrilled.
Yeah, maybe.
There's no school. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, there's one in Lyon, and they've offered him a pay rise.
There we go.
I think is the point, which is maybe why he went in on Tuesday, cleared his locker, was photographed by a few Rennes fans on the platform at the station, leaving Rennes to apparently never come back, and has gone home to London. Now, the club put out a statement saying, this guy's 35, he's so experienced, it's an appalling way to behave, we're really disappointed in him. And he put out this statement on Instagram saying, yeah, it's a personal problem, I might have made an admin error.
Oh.
And
there is a school.
I'll be back to Renaissance. No, there's no school, but I wonder if he didn't know that there was no school.
Right. Oh, so it's not the club's fault.
Maybe it's not the club's fault. More to follow.
Yeah, more as we get it.
More to follow.
Andre Onana will be playing against Tottenham Hotspur for Manchester United. And then he's going to head straight to Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, as we say in English, to join up with the Cameroon squad, because that's where the African Cup of Nations are being played. They play Guinea on Monday, less than 24 hours after the end of the Spurs game.
So another advantage for Spurs here. What they should try and do in this game is just ensure there's as much added time as possible. Because he's got a flight to catch.
Yeah.
So if you can get, say, 15 minutes added onto the end, which in the current climate is possible, you might have an open goal to shoot at.
I mean, it would be quite something if he just left. But I suspect that's probably
well. The plan won't wait for him, mate.
Yeah, I mean,
wasting time. I didn't even check in online.
We've all known from Pete Donaldson's behaviour that the plane will not wait for you.
That's true. That is very, very true. Although we all also know from Pete Donaldson's behaviour that you can get, private jets to places.
I appreciate that Andre Onana is a very good goalkeeper in a bad bit of form, but I am intrigued by the idea that someone whose decision making has been so poor this season will then go and play for his country after a long flight.
I'm keen to see
the decision making.
He's now not going to. He's going to miss that first game.
Right.
So he's basically said to the Cameroonian FA, having pissed them off quite a lot before. Remember, he got sent home from the 2022 World Cup.
He walked out
because he didn't want to play. He didn't want to kick long, didn't he? Yeah.
And if you go back to 2017, he refused to go on international duty because he wanted to concentrate on his club. Having said that he'd go over there for that game, firstly, he's changed the departure date. Secondly, he said, well, I'm going to play the Spurs game first and then I'm going to come over. And now he said, well, I'm not going to play the first game, actually. I'll be there for the second game. It's outrageous.
To me, I don't know what their goalkeeping situation is like, but I'd be starting Thomas and Kono. That's what I'll be doing.
Good choice.
Thank you. AFCON begins in Ivory Coast, of course, this weekend. The hosts are playing on Saturday night. They face Guinea-Bissau. Now, Opta Supercomputer has calculated that Senegal are the most likely team to win it, just ahead of Ivory Coast, with World Cup semi-finalists Morocco third favourites. I know some people fancy Morocco for this, actually. Vish, who do you fancy for it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I fancy them, but I suppose, like, for narrative sake, well, Senegal are the ones that I think, because of the generation of their players, they're basically saying goodbye to a lot of players in this AFCON. Not so much like these people in their like late 20s, early 30s, but in terms of people at the peak of their power. So like, so it's Mendy, Mane, Drissa Gueye. Like, you're in a situation now where you kind of this is when that particular crop of players needs to, well, I suppose, like, you know, defend the title, in a sense, because this is their last hurrah with that. You know, I don't know if they would they call it a golden generation. Can we call it a golden generation on their behalf?
I think they will, because they are the African champions.
Yeah,
and so they've won that trophy with some players that are known around the world.
Yeah,
so just because of that, I think they will.
Although the other, I suppose the other side to it is, you know, Salah really, because you know, with all that he's won and the fact that he's always given his all for Egypt, and like the fact that stylistically, Egypt are one of the worst big teams to watch, if that's fair to say. Like, you really do get the impression, you know, just seeing a lot of the previews, that, you know, while from an English point of view, they're like, oh, you know, he's going to be missing from Liverpool, but it really does feel like he's on a bit of a mission this time around.
Mm. And so close last up, of course.
Yeah.
Came down to penalties between the two sides. Yeah, I think...
Well, they've lost two finals, haven't they, in the last... What, so they lost in 17, I think, and then here, so...
Having won so many... Prior to that, as well,
yeah.
They're not big goal scorers, Egypt, and in Salah's time, they traditionally haven't been. And if obviously they need to unlock that essentially and get the best out of him.
That's just not how they do it, Jim.
That's often the way to get your way to a major tournament, isn't it? Mm. Which is why I'm so looking forward to seeing Nigeria.
I knew someone was going to mention them.
The attacking players they've got. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Victor Boniface is injured and he's not going to be playing. Shame. But they've just gone out and replaced him with Terry Moffey, who, remember, turned down West Ham going back to last year, who's a super player. They've got an incredible lineup.
But up front, they've got a proper goal scorer in Victor Osimhen, who is one of the best forwards in European football, you would say, playing at Napoli. We've been enjoying him very much so. But he's been embroiled in a bit of a scandal? His Napoli teammate, Kvicha Kvaratskhelia's agent, Mamouka Yugeli, said that Osimhen is heading to Saudi Arabia next summer. Osimhen hit back in an Instagram story writing, "Dear Mamouka Yugeli, you are a piece of filth and a disgrace. I'm embarrassed at your sense of reasoning, dumb fuck. Keep my name out of your mouth."
It's amazing.
Challenging a bit of Will Smith there. I don't know if you'd call that a scandal, but it's certainly...
beef,
a war of words.
Absolutely, a war of beef.
Why does he always find? No, sorry, he doesn't find himself in this. But why is he always, I suppose, being like singled out for this kind of bollocks? You know, there was the social media post that Napoli themselves posted, taking the piss out of him, and you know, I think I have an answer of why he seems to be, you know, in the line of sight with this kind of bullshit, but. Seems so mad. I mean, almost like Napoli and the people associated with Napoli don't know how good they have it.
This is quite different. This is someone outside the Napoli tent pissing into it.
Yeah,
which I suspect they're not particularly happy about either. I mean, really, as we kind of explained on OTC, it's kind of partial jealousy because Kvaratskhelia has not got his new contract and Osimhen has because they're lining him up to sell him next summer. I mean, he's right in that the reasoning doesn't make any sense of Kvaratskhelia's agent, because the fact that he signed a new contract with a release clause in it makes him more accessible to Premier League clubs. So it makes it less likely that he'll go to Saudi. So I think we just agree with every word that Osimhen says. But talking of agents, if you're Osimhen's agent, are you not sitting there thinking, actually, I'm meant to get after people on your behalf? What is my job?
Yeah.
Do you fancy him for the golden boot? Some stiff competition.
Yeah, I mean, he's full of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's had a bit of a lean time over the last couple of months, definitely.
And the fact that Egypt don't allow Salah to score goals.
that too.
Maybe. Well, of course, Andy, you did say that you talked about this on the continent. On yesterday's On the Continent, Dot and Andy were joined by Nicky Bandini. They discussed how Napoli have gone from Serie A champions to mid-table. And on today's Ask OTC, whether Jose Mourinho was under pressure at Roma after losing the Rome derby. Head to On the Continent in your podcast app to subscribe now. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you excited to get started? Don't push me. You're on television. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good being manhandled by security, Eric. Man United, a big club.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Andy's mate and Gary Cotterill there with Vish's mate Eric Ten Hag. Now, if you want to hear my disappointment after Fulham's 2-1 defeat at Anfield on Wednesday night, do catch Ramble Reacts with myself and Jim. I suppose it was slightly cathartic for me, a chat after that match. I was a bit disappointed, but I did perk up, though, Jim, when you informed me that the Carabao Cup prize money, if you reach the semi-final, is £25,000.
£25,000. 100 grand if you win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We speculated there are parking spots in Fulham that you couldn't get for that. That wasn't quite right, but I did find a garage for sale for 150 grand. So. Yeah.
So you've got to win it twice.
Yes.
Or at least win it and then get to the final again. So,
oh, it's Guardiola's garage.
Yeah, ridiculous stuff. Talking of sensible stuff, though, before we go back to the Premier League, Kidderminster Harriers have appointed former Hull City Derby County and Southend boss Phil Brown.
This is brilliant news, isn't it? It's huge encouragement for any sitcom characters who might like a crack at football management.
Brown's back, baby.
Brilliant.
They are bottom of the National League, 7 points from safety. But who do you call, Vish? He's been hired on a deal until the end of the season.
Yeah, it's quite a different profile to some of the managers they've had in the past, because they've always, well, not always, but recently they've just employed like up-and-coming managers who've done quite well for them. So John Eustace was there before. Russell Penn, who...
Did get Brown them promoted.
Russell Penn, who Brown is replacing, got them promoted, and a former player, so has credit in the bank. And I think there's generally a bit of excitement about it, because... You know, he's a name, isn't he?
He is a name. And he said, it's a challenge I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into. Oh, Andy. He's going to be working with your former favourite striker, Dean Holdsworth, as well.
Yeah.
Teaming up once again.
I mean, this does have sort of Mark Hughes taking over at Bradford vibes.
Does
like,
a bit.
Like, what? Why? Why?
Mm. Well, he fancies it and they fancy it, yeah. Andy. Why are you getting involved? Why are you trying to get in the way of all the fancying?
I just think he should just... except that the next best move for him is the bargain hunt job. Got the clothes.
Yeah.
Just do it.
He's got the tan.
Got the clothes, got the profile, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to give you 1 hour. All right, everybody, let's go back to the Premier League. Newcastle United host Manchester City on Saturday at 5:30. Pep Guardiola got a yellow card after arguing with Jason Tindall the last time these two met in the Carabao Cup.
done him there, hasn't he, Tindall?
Are we going to see more
step cards? Into my web, Tindall said.
You got a yellow last time. Let's up that to a red this time, you big fraud. An interesting game, this one. Not as straightforward as it might have been for Man City, because Newcastle have stopped the rot with that victory against Sunderland, you might say. But Kevin De Bruyne and his hair are back, Jim.
Yeah. Maybe he just won't be good. Maybe he's just not good anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There is that probably possibility. Not. He, you know, he hasn't played for a while. He.
I mean, the flashes we saw against Huddersfield. No, no, Huddersfield not yeah. on his side, but it certainly seems ridiculous to us.
We don't. You know, he doesn't look like he's been on the booze in all this time, but you know, maybe he's fallen out of love with it. Yeah, maybe he's fallen out of love with it. He's got another hobby.
The hair suggests he's going to be better than ever. Yeah. You know, like when Homer gets snake's hair in The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? He's going to be the best player that football has ever seen.
He's been too focused to have his hair cut.
He's also, just through social media, he's annoyingly laid back. You'd think someone as good as him, because he's working with Pep, would maybe just constantly be thinking about the game. You know, we see it with a lot of like brilliant players across other sports. They're obsessed with it. I think he loves it, and I think he still loves it, and that's annoying.
I think there's an intensity in there.
No, of course, mm-hmm. but I think he's got bigger picture as well. Like, outside of football, off the field, rather. Like, I think he... And I think you can see it with the friends he has across the game, that he's clearly, like, quite a normal bloke. And like, that's annoying, because it makes him seem nice.
And there's, like, victory lap vibes, isn't it? You can actually, for the first time, really see the clock ticking on his Manchester City career. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he left in the summer. And it just makes me think, is he just going to unload on everyone for the next 3 months?
There's also a genuinely quite important thing at play here, in that this time out is probably the longest rest he's had in a while.
Yeah.
And bear in mind that he's played over the last 4 years with various different injuries for club and country as well.
But ridiculous injuries.
Yeah.
Not a little knock, but injuries that you definitely shouldn't be playing with.
You
for
can't
Belgium
put your
Man City.
Yeah, you can't put your full weight on your left ankle. Right, okay, that's annoying as a right footer. Uh-huh. But
I wouldn't go to the gym in that situation. Let alone, you know, be a professional footballer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is quite absurd. But Manchester, since they sort of come back from the Club World Cup and started playing the Premier League, there does feel about an inevitability that they will just sort of reclaim top spot in the Premier League.
It might not happen, but we've seen so many times that Guardiola gears his squad for exactly this, doesn't he? That they are prepared for this gear change. It's not a coincidence, is it? It's something they actively work towards.
Yeah. Well, and it is interesting with his team selection sometimes, you know, that has been reflected before, where you don't see certain players for certain periods and then suddenly they used a lot. And that rotation and the resting and so on was, as you say, when De Bruyne has effectively kind of had a rest and he looks damn fine for it. It doesn't bode well for Newcastle United, who also have Joe Linton ruled out for a minimum of 6 weeks with a thigh injury. However, good news for Newcastle United is that Jordan Henderson's name has been reportedly discussed by the hierarchy of the club, because of course it has, Andy.
Yeah. What are these discussions, though? Are they mostly laughter? Hey, what's the good back?
What do you reckon, Andy?
Also, he's not one of the PIF clubs, is he?
No. But he could be soon.
there we go. There we go.
You're just rubbishing this. You think it's nonsense.
No, it is nonsense, because I think you look at the Darren Eales, the CEO, coming out and talking about the financial results yesterday, which has been, I think it's given an interesting window into how people all over Europe and the world look at Newcastle now, in that the fact that it's been interpreted as they might go and sell a big player now, which isn't exactly what Darren Eales said, but he said, you know, we're not ruling out player trading at the moment. So everyone's immediately going, oh, Bruno Guimaraes to PSG. They haven't got any money. They're losing money hand over fist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas the detail is a little bit different to that. But it's quite interesting. You read reports in Spain, France, Portugal, and there's this barely concealed glee that, ha-ha, your project's running aground. It's quite interesting that that's not just restricted to England, and they're seen as this like global threat, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's interesting, and it's good to hear. They have reportedly made inquiries with Bournemouth about Dominic Solanke, though.
Again, it's not happening, is it?
Yeah, and I really don't want that to happen, because Solanke's playing like a man possessed at the moment.
He really is. I mean, his stock is really high at the moment. I hope he at least sees out this season at Bournemouth mm-hmm. because, you know,
he'd be mad not to.
Yeah, absolutely, he would be mad not to. He's the only thing I can think of that might convince him to potentially make a move is that if he's at, you know, a traditionally bigger club, mm-hmm. It might give Southgate something to think about in terms of England selection. But he's in a place where the system really, really works for him. Mm-hmm. He's scoring goals, and you can't, you know, guarantee that you would do that in a different system. I just really, really hope that he stays, keeps up the form he's in, mm-hmm. and then, you know, who knows in the summer. But he's a joy to watch for Bournemouth.
But not,
and,
not
and they're really like interesting to watch, and he's a big part of that.
I totally agree with all of that, but a club would be mad to buy him in this window as well.
Yes.
Because you're buying him at a point where he's going to be really expensive on the back of one excellent half season.
Exactly. We see this so many times. I mean, there's some people saying, you know, Arsenal really need to stop. Well, a lot of people saying that. And they're being linked with, what's his name? Broja Mayoral.
Yeah, well, Solanke himself as well.
Well, Solanke himself.
Borja would be, again, a typical January
signing.
It's
one of those ones, yeah. Andy. He's having a good season.
Arsenal aren't going to do that. They're not stupid.
Well, Raul de Tomás last season in exactly the same sort of link.
But it is that kind of thing where a club sort of panics and goes, well, that guy this season, and you think, no, but it is the whole kind of half season wonder, one season wonder. You know, these are good players, but they're not 21-year-olds who are, you know, kind of fresh. You think, okay, hang on a minute, you know, this is the next Erling Haaland or something like that. You know, one has to be a little bit careful. But I think clubs have surely learnt this by now. But then, you know, never underestimate the stupidity of owners of football clubs. No. I would say everybody. All right then. It's time for the Football Ramble ACCA with Betfair. The football season is well and truly underway with Betfair. And if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further. Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your ACCA this season. And you can join in this weekend with a complete free ACCA or bet builder on the football. So today and every Friday, we're building an ACCA of four match odds, 90 bets from across the Premier League. Andy, you've got the first game.
Manchester City to win at Newcastle. It's like Jim says, they're getting in the Pep zone now, aren't they?
They are getting in the Pep zone. Okay. Well, Andy, you've got 6 out of 13 correct at the moment. I think you need this.
You think? I think if you're looking at it as NBA shooting percentage, I'd take it. It's fine.
I'm saying that you better be right with this.
Right, okay.
Uh-huh.
So taken.
He's predicted taken. Last season's treble winners to win a game.
Coming from you, that is quite something.
Well, we'll see what I've got in a minute, Andy, won't
okay,
we?
Okay.
We will. Vish, you have the third game, Manchester United versus Spurs.
I am going to go for an optimistic draw, just with Spurs' absences and the fact that, I don't know, Manchester United beat Wigan. I feel like this would be a bit more of a bitty game than Angie and Spurs would like, so I'm going with a stalemate.
I think that's quite nice, but you've got 6 out of 12 correct. There's your 50%, boys. Will he still have 50% after this? Let's hope so, for charity's sake. I've got Chelsea versus Fulham. I'm going for a Fulham win, Andy. It's at Stamford Bridge. I've got 12 out of 20 correct, the best percentage of us all here.
Yeah, excellent. You can afford to be brave, can't you?
Well, when Fulham are going to Chelsea, I think you can.
Especially when they're the favourites, right?
Well, do the markets say that? I'm not sure they do, Andy, but I'm putting them to win that game. So we've got Manchester City to beat Newcastle, Villa to beat Everton, a draw between Manchester United and Spurs, and Fulham to beat Chelsea. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £465.75. And if we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place your bet on their match odds, 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble ACCA every week. Opt-in required and previous deposit required. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. T's and C's apply. Got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, this is quickly becoming the best bit of my Friday. I'm loving this. I'm loving the power of the chair. It's Jack's Encyclopedia, of course. You know how it rolls. A simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will give you 7 seconds. Jim got the belt back last Friday, but amidst controversial circumstances, as Gary Neville and Paul Scholes didn't make any appearances in the FA Cup in 1994, which means they only have three winners' medals.
Ooh.
But they
weren't
they
my
were
answers, though, were they? Weren't my answers.
They were my answers. And ultimately, Luke lost, so we're all okay.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Justice was served.
Yeah, that, Luke, even when the heel is against you.
Yours, the FIFA Congress.
By the way, can I just say, it is lovely having you in the chair. I like when you host, Andy.
although you are only hosting because you're uncharacteristically poor at this game.
Oh, that's... I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
How can I win when I'm in the bloody chair? Actually, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where's that? Oh, they've taken the Andy wins button off the... Oh.
They've
decommissioned it. It's not even worth having
they
anymore.
They pulped it. Pulped the Andy button.
Exactly. To be fair to Vish, the league table doesn't lie, Andy.
Anyway,
they pulped it. They've rebadged it, you fool.
Anyway, the first category. Oh, this is a great first category. I love this. The 15 most expensive Premier League signings ever made in January.
Ooh.
So that's transfers coming into the Premier League, not going out. That and we're going to go off their initial fee.
That is a tough one.
Come on, Ben. Jesus.
And we're going to have Vish to start.
Mikhailo Mudryk.
Good one.
It was the last one.
I genuinely have nothing.
Oh, Andy Carroll?
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Lovely.
Get that helicopter whirring.
Enzo Fernandez?
Pretty good.
Very nice.
You helped me with Mudryk, by the way. That jog, not memory.
Luis Suarez?
Yeah, maybe.
No, maybe it's too low.
Maybe he was in before, was he?
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Ooh.
I was surprised to see him on this list. Yes.
Ooh.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Moses Caicedo.
I just saw Cucurella.
Summer. There's victory for Jim. Anyway.
Mate, honestly, that is like...
That's a tough one.
That's the first time in this game where I've gone nothing.
There are some tricky ones in here. So you could have had Anthony Gordon, Aymeric Laporte in 2018, Benoit Badiashile, Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Guimaraes, Christian Pulisic, Cody Gakpo, Fernando Torres... Talking to the helicopters. Juan Mata, Luis Diaz, or Virgil van Dijk. So one
van Dijk, is it?
Nil to
totally
Jim.
Forget.
A few players I'm disappointed
totally
about,
forget that. No, that's a tough one. Fair play to you, Jimbo.
1-0 to
the
Jim.
Title defence is looking good.
Well, it was until we get to category two. The final England squad that Sven-Göran Eriksson took to the 2006 FIFA World Cup.
It's a lovely question.
Sorry, can you repeat the question? We were all groaning over it.
Yes, the final England squad that Sven-Göran Eriksson took to the 2006 FIFA World Cup. There are, I shouldn't need to tell you, 23 possible answers here, and Jim is going first.
Steven Gerrard.
Wayne Rooney.
Frank Lampard.
John Terry.
Peter Crouch.
What a pleasing rhythm there is to this.
Ashley Cole.
Theo Walcott.
Nice.
Yes.
Jamie Carragher.
It's Torres.
Oh, early.
Owen Hargreaves.
Nice.
Nice. Gareth Barry.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Rut roll.
Frank Lampard.
I've already said it.
Have you?
Yeah. That's annoying. Bugger that up. Bugger that right up.
Vish, to take the point.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, don't over-celebrate.
Oh,
Come on, Gary Neville.
No, hold on.
Gary Neville, please. He's had loads of time.
I haven't had loads of time.
Yeah, you have.
No, he hasn't.
Well, it's up to Andy, isn't it?
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions.
Wayne Rooney.
It's already said it. Already said it, baby. We're all back in. Yes.
Jeez.
God. Can't believe I said Frank Lampard there. I remember thinking, basically because we didn't go Gerard Lampard.
Yeah.
Jim, you're back in as well.
Oof. 2006.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Gary Neville. Surely Neville was in there.
Yes.
Yeah. I was sitting there going... Yeah. He's literally giving you an answer, Vish.
Paul Robinson.
David Beckham.
Well done.
Rob Green?
Maybe.
No. I'm afraid not. It's because it's the final England squad. Rob Green was initially picked, but then replaced in the final squad.
Mm. Michael Carrick.
David James?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Owen.
Joe Cole?
Aaron Lennon.
So we've had...
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place.
You've done very well here, fellas.
The headline has been written.
Danny Mills?
Finish it.
Well, I could say Stuart Downing, but it's already been won. No one went for Rio Ferdinand.
I wasn't sure if he'd missed out on injury or not. So he's on my notes, but with a question mark.
No Rio. None of you went for Jermaine Genus.
Yeah, I was thinking midfield, so I think central midfield.
I wouldn't have got him. I'd forgot Genus.
Sol Campbell, Wayne Bridge, or...
Bridge.
Replaced Rob Green, Scott Carson. So that's...
You let me off the hook there.
I know, I just completely had a mind blank, yeah.
One to Jim, one to Marcus.
I think it's right that I won that.
Can Vish take it to a tiebreak? We're going to find out in category three. Teams that have won the League Cup since 1990.
That's a nice...
14 teams.
That's a nice
And we are going to start with Marcus Seisbeller.
The League Cup, you say?
Yes, I do.
Manchester City.
Liverpool.
Chelsea.
Spurs.
Birmingham City.
Lovely answer.
Very good.
Since 1990, you say?
I mean, I think he said Birmingham City deliberately to annoy you, which is why I haven't hit the countdown button yet, despite your filibustering.
Arsenal.
Yeah, there we go.
Aston Villa.
Who else likes the League Cup? Who wants a League Cup?
Hands up if you like it.
Yeah, it's win black.
Middlesbrough.
Very good.
That was one of mine.
It's Hendon.
This will impress you, Jim. Sheffield Wednesday.
Very impressive. Very impressive indeed. Blimey. Shit.
Yeah,
nothing. Marcus Speller wins!
Just as well, because I had nothing left.
Which is remarkable, really, because there are a couple here that you definitely could have got. Swansea City. Nottingham Forest.
I did
Blackburn Rovers, and six times Manchester United.
Oh, my God.
I thought you'd said...
Love it.
In my mind, I listed all the big clubs, as we all do in a situation like this, and just evidently they're not in our heads
anymore. I just thought someone would have said Manchester United. Jesus.
What an afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, blimey.
How about that?
Yeah. One was Sheffield Wednesday in the League Cup.
Well done.
Excellent. Well done, nerd. To me. All I know is that John Sheridan got the winner in that game. Okay. Against Manchester United.
The annoying thing about the Blackburn one is I watched that game and it was so funny because Mark Hughes played in midfield for Blackburn and his only job was to kick Darren Anderson. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, poor old Dazza. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join myself, Jim and Vish tomorrow for The Mailbag. Do follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The keys are in the lock. The weekend is officially open. Smiles all round. Well done, everybody. We're off to Baden-Baden. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vatushan Hantharaja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, Ned.
Thank you, everybody. See you for The Mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app. And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.